in Acts chapter 1, we're going to read the first verse there. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his suffering by infallible proofs. I want you to remember that. Infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So infallible proofs, and we can look that, and some of the words, a defining truth, a token, that from which something is surely and plainly known, inductible evidence, a proof. You could say a sign, a wonder, a work. So it's something that God did to show them the evidence that his power worked. All right? We'll move on there. And I wrote some things out because when we talk about the kingdom of God, and Jesus was all about telling them about the kingdom of God, we see that in Luke 17, verse 20. And you don't have to turn there. I can just read that. Luke 17, verse 20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. So you can't see it, right?
Right.
Well, where's it at? Where do you think it's at? There you go. It's in our heart. The kingdom of God is within us. It's without observation. Nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And then I wrote down here, Jesus had been teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God and how to operate from the new life of the Holy Spirit within. When speaking of the kingdom of God, we should see the inward grace of God or our redemption in Christ we are to access here on this earth. So we know that Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do.
Right.
He was teaching them how to be led by the Spirit. Yes. Remember when Jesus breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, that was a precursor of the promise of the Spirit was going to come on the day of Pentecost.
Right.
But actually, when Jesus, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, when that took place and the curtain in the temple was rent in two, basically, that's when we became born again, if they believed in Jesus. If they believed in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And we could go to Romans 10, and I want you to go there real quick. We're getting to a point here. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, and we could get buried under a little bit, but if you notice, I like to hit things at all different sides, because I want you to get an understanding of what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about the greater works of Jesus, but this is more of a teaching service. All right, so in verse 8, Romans 10, 8, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that what? God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So we do know that they had to believe that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection before they could become saved. If that's how we get saved, that's how they got saved. So he breathed the Holy Spirit on them, but it wasn't until he ascended up into the Father, until his death, burial, and resurrection, that new life came into place in their spirits. And there's a dual working of the Holy Spirit we see. And if you go back to Acts, let's go back there. We're going to wrap this up in a nice bow. And we read there in verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And notice in verse 4, it goes into, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father.
Yes. Yes.
And we know specifically what he was talking about there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. So there's a dual working of the Spirit. There is when the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ.
Right, right.
What do you mean? We become a member of the kingdom of God. And really, when we become a member of the kingdom of God, that kingdom lives within you.
Yes.
It's kind of like you say, I have a house. Where do you live?
Right. Yeah.
You live in that house.
Yeah.
Right? Christ lives within us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We are a part of the kingdom of God. His power, his grace, you could say the spirit of Christ lives inside of us. Right? But there's a dual working of the Holy Spirit. First, there's a becoming saved,
right,
receiving Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. And then there's a working where you have a baptism of the Spirit that comes upon you. And really, Jesus is baptizing you with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And there are scriptures that we can read along that line. We'll see if we're going to go there. But what I want to say to you is that inner grace comes out and gives you the ability, not just fountains of water that means salvation, but rivers of water.
Yes.
That inner grace, what's inside, as you stirred up, and on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and what was inside of them came out.
Yep.
And it stayed on them. We know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you could say the Spirit coming on people like the king and the priest and the prophet back in the Old Testament, but they didn't pray in tongues, so to speak. So this was the first time that the Holy Ghost came upon them, and it was like tongues of fire came off them, and they began to speak in other tongues and began to laugh and go out into the streets, and it was a sign and a wonder to the people that not only were these crazy people part of Jesus's group who believed in the death, burial, or resurrection, but they were also, there was a power that was on them that was noticeable. Notice infallible proofs. We should have a power on us that is noticeable. Yes, we are righteous. You see, the righteousness of faith lives inside of us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we are baptized into the body of Christ. And we are in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God lives in us. We live in the kingdom, just like you live in that house. Right? But you're using the tools of that house. And so to speak, we are using the tools that are inside of us. For healing, for prosperity, for forgiveness.
Amen.
What is it that you need? You have it in salvation. You've been delivered. But then there's a subsequent experience. And it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe eventually we'll get into that more. But I just wanted to explain a little bit that it's a dual working of the Holy Spirit. Dad Hagen was our spiritual father for several years. And then when he passed away, we met Dr. Dufresne and Pastor Nancy Dufresne, and they became our spiritual parents. Of course, Pastor Nancy, she is our pastor today. And what was I going to say with all that? I was going to say something that was very important. We'll get back to that. Anyway, if we need to. But I want you to go to Genesis. I want you to go to Genesis. There was something that I was going to say, but maybe I didn't need to say it. Genesis 1. So we're going to change, we're going to reroute something. I remember what I was going to say that Dr. Dufresne used to say, if I need to say it. All right. You're okay. All right. So in Genesis 1. So we're going to reroute a little bit here. We've talked about Adam, and we've talked about Christ as the second Adam.
Yes.
What happened to Adam? Adam had the life of God in him, but there was something else. He really had everything that we have in salvation. How do we know that? Well, let's go back and let's read this a little bit so that we can understand what Jesus gave us. All right. So in Genesis 1:26, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. What is it being in his image? Is it that the Holy Ghost lives inside of us and God is a spirit? So are we in his image and in his likeness because God is a spirit? Right?
Yeah.
All right. So we'll read. Actually, we'll just jump over there very quickly in chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So yes, we are spirit, but we have a soul. And we have a body. We possess a soul and we have a body, right? Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then, of course, my body. And I'm looking out through these eyes at you. But my spirit man is in control. So I am a spirit because the Holy Spirit breathed life into me. Now, I thought it was interesting that Jesus blew on them and said, "Receive the Spirit." So do we believe that that's an example of what happened back originally with Adam?
Yes.
That the Holy Ghost was breathed into him?
Yes.
And that's why he became a new creation.
Yes.
It wasn't the dirt that made his body. It was the new creation was the Holy Spirit that came into him and made him. And he was a dominating spirit.
Yes.
How do we know that? Well, let's read on there. Let them have dominion over the fish of the earth. Now, dominion there, let's read that. Says, or it means to rule over, to cause, to dominate, to subjugate. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man. In his own image. He breathed life into man because God is a spirit.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And he breathed that into us. Let's go on there. Then God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. And that word fruitful means to bear fruit. Now, I want you to remember that, fruitfulness, to bear fruit, because we're going to go over in John chapter 14 and read a little bit about different types of bearing fruit, or really we could say bearing works, bearing fruit or bearing works. And we're talking about the greater works of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen? And there's even a scripture in John 14 that says, greater works than these shall you do. In other words, we can bear fruit. Why? Because we have dominion. And Adam had dominion within. He took that Holy Ghost empowerment, grace, and he spoke to that garden.
Yes.
He tended it. He kept
yes.
it.
Yes.
He ordered it aright. Making sure things were, but when he sinned, Adam lost the life of God. Eve lost the life of God. Now they still had a remnant, or they wouldn't have been able to be alive. You understand? But we see there in Ezekiel, he said, I'll put a new heart, I'll put a new spirit in you, right? So he was talking about the second Adam. He was talking about Jesus who would come. Now, I want to go back. I want to read something here. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Now, this is one of those services where you have to really pay attention, and it'll all come together for you. 1 Corinthians 15:45 in the New King James, 15:45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. What did he mean? Jesus was that last Adam. He was the life-giving spirit. Christ means the anointed one. So Jesus Christ, the anointed, had the anointing, and he was the anointed one. He brought that life-giving spirit back to man through his death, burial, and resurrection. And as they believed on that, in their heart and they spoke it with their mouth because they were using the dominion that they had, but it was lost in Adam. And man didn't have dominion without God getting involved. In other words, Adam gave up his dominion. And they said, really, the devil took pseudo control of the earth. He wasn't supposed to have control, but Adam gave him control through his sin. And so man, he had a healing covenant, but he had to come to God. And really, through the law, I mean, at the beginning, there wasn't the law, but he had to come to God, and he had to get it from God. He couldn't just speak it out of his mouth. So where did faith come into the Old Testament? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God gave them his word. In other words, a healing covenant, a prosperity covenant, whatever they needed, he gave that to them. And if they believed it and they followed that, then he would take sickness out of their midst. He would bless them. He would prosper them. So that's what man had for all those generations from Adam to Christ. They had God, but they were servants. They were no longer children. But they came to God, and they basically took hold of his covenant and what he said. But now we've come back to the dominion that is inside through the Holy Ghost. We are empowered to prosper. And not only that, you know, certain ones like the king and the prophet and the priest would have the Holy Ghost come on them for service. But we all can be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And not just as the Spirit wills, but it actually, when you yield to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you can pray in tongues at any time. You can be empowered at any time. You can yield to that and dance anytime. You can yield to that in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs anytime. Tongues is the initial evidence, but we see many times people are dancing and they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they're stirring up what is already inside of them. They're shouting, just getting happy, stirring it up. That's why in the morning time, if you don't feel like getting out of bed, I don't know why I keep saying that. Maybe some people in here didn't want to get out of bed today. You may have to get up and dance. Sometimes you're laying there at night and the thoughts are racing. What do? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Just begin to yield. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. He's my comforter. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. I've got joy inside of me. I've got joy. I'm so free. I've got joy. Healing is working in me. I thank you, Lord. I take authority over the thoughts that keep me awake. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. And just out of your spirit. What a promise we have. All right. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15:45. I don't know where I got 54 at. But anyway, 1 Corinthians 15:45. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, an individual personality. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life. And that's in the Amplified, restoring the dead to life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, we mentioned Ezekiel 36. I didn't give you the scripture there, but 36:26 says, Ezekiel 36:26 through 27, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. So that's how we in the New Testament are able to follow God's word. That's how we in the New Testament can curb sin.
That's right. Yeah.
Through the empowerment, through the dominion of our spirit. But you got to feed it. I said you got to feed your spirit. You have to renew your mind and develop your heart. How do you do that? Read the word and then act on it.
That's right.
Well, that's a revelation.
Yeah.
Read the word and then act on it. And your mind will be renewed, but at the same time, they're different processes, but they work at the same time. Your spirit is strengthened. Yes. It's refreshed.
Yes.
Amen? But you've got to feed your spirit. You've got to renew your mind and feed your spirit with the Word of God. You need to act on it, and then you'll be able to do what He's asked you to do. You'll be able to fulfill the plan of God. Did you know that healing and health is the plan of God?
Yes.
Did you know that prosperity is the plan of God?
Thank you.
Amen?
Amen.
Forgiveness.
Yes.
What is, and yes, He's called you to fulfill His plan to get people saved. That's what we usually think the plan is. That's true, to get people saved. But there's so much more that we can be walking in, and yet so many times we're walking in so little. But we have the Holy Spirit within us, and we are baptized with the Holy Ghost, where we're empowered.
Yes.
And then if you couple that together with the word that you're hearing, and you speak it out of a mouth that has been stirred with the Holy Ghost, and you begin to proclaim, I am the healed of the Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the blessed of the Lord. I am the prospered of the Lord. He sent His word and He healed me and delivered me from all my fears. So stirring oneself up. And many times when your body is tired, you don't want to stir yourself up. It's in there, my friend. Stir it up. It's not just a fountain that goes up to eternal life, but it is a river of water that will flow out and over you and help you to do the plan of God. And part of the plan of God is walking in healing. Part of the plan of God is walking in prosperity. Part of the plan of God is being able to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and to go witness and be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
And we come to the church to get our marching orders. Yeah. Well, what do you mean our marching orders? What does the Word of God say about the plan of God for your life? Well, there's a lot it says. Well, moving right along then, we see in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In the Amplified, it says, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come.
That's right.
And we know in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live by the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So our old nature has passed away. We have a new nature through Christ because we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. But then we can come into being empowered by being baptized in the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost, and walk with strength and walk with power. And there are times when sometimes we forget that. We forget that we got a crank inside of us. Why I say crank? Because sometimes we leak and you're cranking, but it's not doing. And that's why sometimes you got to get up and move. Sometimes you got to dance. Sometimes you just got to start shouting. You just got to stir yourself up. Has anybody seen anyone get filled with the Holy Ghost by, praise the Lord, I'm so glad that the Lord has blessed me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Woo!
Hallelujah!
The devil just said that I'm sick. Well, that's a little extravagant, isn't it? Hey, whatever it takes.
Amen.
You got to stir yourself up. Do you believe it? Well, if you believe it, there's going to be fruit there. There's going to be some works there. All right. So I did all of that as a preliminary. All right. Now let's go to Mark. Well, actually, Let's go to John 14. John 14, 12 through 14. If you need a drink, go ahead. Are y'all with me? Is this making sense? I think sometimes we've got so much material to cover that I'm wanting to go about 20 different directions, but we're going to get what the Spirit wants here today. John 14, 12 through 14 says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works," remember, "the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." What are the works? I said, what are the works? Well, Dad Hagin says, preaching, teaching, and healing. We see in Matthew 4:23, you can write that down. Matthew 4:23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." Preaching, teaching, and healing, right? "Then his fame went through all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them." So the works are what Jesus did and how the Holy Ghost manifested through Jesus. And remember Christ, the Anointed One. Yes. Jesus was the representation of the anointing of God that was to be restored to the body of Christ. And everything that he did is what we as Christians need to do today with that anointing inside.
Yes.
Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
Everything that Jesus did should be an example.
Yes.
We should preach. We should teach.
Yes.
We should heal. We should cast out devils.
That's right.
We should walk out our salvation with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit within us. And then that dual process upon us.
Amen.
And fulfill God's plan and purpose in our life. We see in Acts 10, 36 through 38. Acts 10, 36 through 38. "The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth." I said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see the anointing of Jesus, the representation of that anointing, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, turning people's lives around, and then he showed them how to receive salvation. And the Holy Spirit indwelled them because they were believers on the Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then the promise of the Father came on that day of Pentecost.
Yes.
And they were all endued with power as they stirred up the Holy Ghost fountain within.
Yes.
And then that became rivers of water. That's why we can be so effective in our prayer life. I said, that's why we can be so effective in our prayer life. We can start out praying the scriptures, and we should. We should go to Ephesians 1 there and move on, you know, and pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him and so on and so forth. We should go over to Ephesians 3. There's many prayers there in the epistles. We should be praying for others. Put our name in there. Pray for the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
But we need to be praying in the Spirit. And that's why the initial evidence of praying in tongues helps us to pray for our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
It helps us to pray for the plan of God for our lives.
Yes.
Helps us to pray for our church. I am so thankful for the day when we'll just have a regular time of prayer. But are you praying at home?
Hello.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why we're teaching on these things.
Yeah.
Because you can just take, you know, a hand with Roger and say, we're going to pray for our church today. We're going to pray the plan of God out. And sometimes, you know, that Missouri Road building, there are details that need to be prayed out.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can figure it all out with our head and get mental about it. But sometimes we say, let's just pray in the spirit. And just yield to the Holy Ghost and pray it out. Amen. So it's so important. Now, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Let's go there. So we're talking about the greater works. Did we read that? Greater works than these ye shall do? Yeah. These ask. Greater works than these shall you do. But then we go to John 14. And we will read, actually it's 15, sorry about that. Second mistake I've ever made. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. What is he talking about there, bearing fruit? Well, really, he's talking about doing the works of Jesus. Really, he's talking about letting God confirm his word, doing what the word says, acting upon it, and then you're going to get what it has for you.
Yes.
Healing and health, prosperity, the blessing of God.
Yes.
That's bearing fruit. That's doing the works of Jesus. And we're going to, I'm going to come back to this, but I want you to go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 says in verse 14, Mark 16, 14, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, Mark 16, 14, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He was telling his disciples that, but also he was letting them know what every believer can have.
Yeah.
In verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. What's that? Well, you're talking about baptized in water, but you're talking about being baptized into the body of Christ, which is salvation. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who what?
Believe.
These signs. These signs. Well, remember that word. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Every believer can do this. But notice he was specifically talking to his apostles there or the disciples and told them, go do this. And then teach them that they can do this too. We're not talking about there, I believe it's in Matthew 10, and Jesus gave them power to go heal the sick and to cast out devils. Really, I had studied that out in different scriptural teachings I've read, but Dad Hagen was praying about that, and the Lord said to them, that was a tangible anointing that I gave them for service for their ministries.
Yes. Yeah.
And we call it the tangible healing anointing.
Yeah.
That people have to receive by faith. So sometimes we call people up, if you want to receive ministry, it's not prayer, but it's ministry to the sick. There's nothing wrong with the prayer of faith, but the prayer of faith is believing that you receive without any special anointing at all, just believing that you receive from the anointing within. Just hooking up with the anointing within, you can agree together with somebody that healing is ministering to them and that God is ministering to them in that place of their need. Amen. Or maybe it's finances or whatever. Right. But anyway, moving right along, I'm getting off the beaten path. Let's go to verse 20. We'll come back to that, but I'm getting off the path. They went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Through accompanying signs. And signs are the calling card or the advertisement of God's power.
Yes.
Signs advertise the works.
Yes.
All right? So we were talking about there's a prayer of faith, but then there's a tangible healing anointing where we minister to individuals. We're not saying, Lord, we ask you to...
Yeah.
to heal them.
Right.
No, we're ministering the anointing, and that tangible anointing goes out of our hands into their body.
That's right.
And that was something that Jesus bestowed on his disciples. And there are ministry gifts today that don't operate in that.
True.
They can lay hands on the sick, and then they use the oil for the representation of that anointing. In James 5:14. So James taught about the laying on of hands of the sick and how to use oil as a representation of that. But yet James was one of those that actually operated in that tangible healing anointing.
Right.
Pastor Jay and I operate in that tangible healing anointing. Well, why? Because we were raised up from Dad Hagen and Dr. Dufresne, Pastor Nancy, who also operate in that tangible anointing. But there are others like Dr. Lester Sumrall, who said, you know, he basically operated in a gift of the Spirit called special faith.
Yep. Yes.
And not the tangible healing anointing.
Right.
The tangible healing anointing is to minister to any sickness or any disease.
Right. Right.
But then you've got gifts of healings, which is part of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. And we've got gifts of healings that could be maybe for legs. Maybe for heads, maybe for eyes, maybe for ears.
Yeah.
Well, God manifests two certain ministry gifts to help them in their ministry offices. Gifts of the Spirit. But the tangible healing anointing is different. It is an anointing that Jesus used and he bestowed on his disciples to minister to any sickness or any disease and to cast out devils. And then oftentimes we see people get filled with the Holy Ghost as well. Are you snowed under yet? Are you okay? All right. So let's go back. Signs are a calling card or the advertisement of God's power. Signs advertise the works. Have you ever seen a billboard that had a Big Mac on it? And it's the special sauce is dripping off the sides. And the cheese is there. And you're like, oh. Now, McDonald's doesn't do much for me. But anyway, moving right along, I'm just saying that it's a calling card for those who, I'm hungry. So people need to see us operating in the anointing, the gifts of the Spirit. Now, you understand gifts of the Spirit are as the Spirit wills, but he uses anybody in the gifts of the Spirit. There are just certain gifts that are for ministry gifts. You understand that more, all right, we'll go there real quick. So there's so much that we need to cover, and then I'll get back to that billboard, all right? Oh, okay. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. See, that's why we need to read this, so that we're not ignorant about these things. Now, in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. So, there are different ministries. Not every ministry has the same thing. I'm talking about the fivefold ministry offices, right? Of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, the teacher, all right? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
Yes.
So we do see that there are certain ministry gifts, maybe the evangelists, that more commonly miracles operate. We see in the prophet's office, tongues interpretation, which is equal to prophecy, operates. These are gifts of the Spirit.
Yes.
But they're used for these different ministries to help their ministry office.
Yes.
All right? So that's not just the lay person that is stepping out and getting, just getting excited and praying the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I mean, that's wonderful. But a prophet, it's more, and you've seen me operate in that. Sometimes God uses me over the years, and I'll just stop in a service, and I'm drawn to a certain person, and I'll get a tongue, and then as I go toward that, I just do it by faith, hello, and I go toward that, and then he gives me the interpretation, so I'll interpret it. Well, that is something that God uses me in more, and also words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healings that God has for physiological things in the brain, for bones, for hearts, you understand, for ears. These are things that God uses me in. The manifestation of these things have come to help me in my ministry office. It's not just as the Spirit wills, and you know, he comes on, Brother Casey, to minister to somebody in a certain setting, right? And we see this in Acts chapter 6, and we see that they started out in helps ministry, but we see like Philip, he was an evangelist. Then we see that the miracles started. You understand? Well, that was all free. Thank you. That was all free. So it doesn't mean that you cannot operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It just means that it manifests as he wills. And we see that for the ministry offices that, and I'm talking about that apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher, that it comes to settle and manifest in their offices on a more regular basis. Okay? All right. So where were we at? Let's go back to Mark, and we're going to be wrapping up here. Mark 16. I could hear that. Oh, finally.
No.
All right.
No.
Mark 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. He confirmed means to establish, to make sure. And again, we see that these were signs. Now let's go, and you read that billboard, and you see that advertisement for a Big Mac or whatever, and or maybe there's an open house. So what do? You go to that open house. God needs us to be operating how Jesus operated in order to get people to come into the local church. He needs us to be reaching out at the local Walmarts. He needs us to be, I'm not talking about we have to be weird, but what people call weird, maybe normal does. He needs us to be led by the Holy Ghost to understand that the Holy Ghost talks to us and said, hey, I need you to talk to that person. You know, I've had the Spirit of God come on me and go up to somebody and say, you're running from God. And they looked at me, what do you mean? What do you mean? Running from God. I know I'm running from God. What's that to you? God just told me to encourage you. So he wants us to be led by the Spirit. He wants us to be filled up with the Holy Ghost so that we'll be bold enough to walk up and tell people. I'm not talking about getting in somebody's face, you know, and without the leading of the Spirit or without using wisdom. I'm not talking about, you know, your employer hired you for a certain amount of work. So if you're working there, you're not preaching, teaching, and healing on the job 24/7. It may be during the break. You know, I'm talking about learning wisdom with these things and being a believer and going and doing likewise.
Amen.
So, very quickly, will you let me go back to John 14?
Yes, please.
In John 14, actually 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word. You are already clean because of the word. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. This is what happens to people that are not using the gifts inside of them or don't know what's inside of them and are not operating in the plan of God. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, as you will be my disciples. We have no fruit We have fruit, we have more fruit, we have much fruit, and then we have fruit that remains. Why don't you stand up? And bearing fruit, or you could say bearing works, allowing God to confirm his word, letting the word renew your mind and develop your spirit and find out who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. Finding out that you are the redeemed of the Lord, that you are the healed of the Lord, that you are the forgiven, that you are the blessed and prospered.
Amen.
But also finding out God's plan of what you're called to do. You may not be called into the fivefold ministry, but we are to hook up with our local church. We are to get involved, just like in Acts chapter 6. They found those who were full of faith and full of the Spirit to serve tables. But at the same time, they were ministering at home. They were ministering to those they came in contact with. Helps ministry is not just in your local church, although that ought to be a priority. Because if we don't have the church properly taken care of, then we can't grow people up with the word.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
But if the church is growing up people properly and people are in the right place and helping, then we all at the same time are also ministering outside the local church. And some of us will be even going to the mission fields, maybe going into the ministry, the fivefold ministry, whatever. But as we fill ourselves up with the word, as we are led by the Holy Spirit, as we yield to the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and we go do the plan with power. Then we will fulfill the greater works. I said, then we will fulfill the greater works. God has not called you to be a couch potato and just to watch live stream. He has called you to be involved. Pastor, there's so much wrong in my life. Just get it right through the word. Just get it right through fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Just meditate on the goodness of God and how we started out this service, the love of God.
Yes.
Just meditate on these things, and my friend, he will help you make it simple in your life.
Yes.
He will work these things out. He will give you the answers you need. But we've got to fulfill the plan of God with the greater works, and we follow the example of Jesus, the representation of the anointing that has been restored to the body of Christ. Well, if anybody in here is excited, say hallelujah.
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 Glory to God.
There's something about the local church that when it's about 10 till 12, people start forgetting about the greater works and start about the greater food, you know. All right. So,
hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. We are, you got a song for that?
I do.
Yeah. Well, let's sing it.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We have the greater one living inside of us. The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. I am not afraid of the evil enemy, nor all the threats he's made. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the greater one. The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me. The greater one's in me. The greater one's in me. The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me.
Hallelujah.
The mighty Holy Spirit is living in me.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Well, praise the Lord.
Very
quickly, we are going to be taking communion. So let's get set up for that right now, guys. And I'm going to read a scripture. You can be seated. And we won't take long with this. But at the same time, we want to reverence the representation of what communion means. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." What does that mean, in an unworthy? Well, if we're just in a hurry or, you know, but let's think about what he's done for us. Or maybe if we're harboring offense towards somebody else, or I mean, it could be different things. In your heart, you know if God's dealing with you about something. I would encourage you, before we take communion, to just get that right with God.
Amen.
Amen. Have you allowed offense? Have you been fulfilling the plan of God? Is there something in your life that God's dealing with you about? But, well, maybe next year, Lord. I would just encourage you, get that right with God, and he'll show you how to take those steps. So it also says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." That just means that we need to, in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. His righteousness is being right. So if there's any area of our life we don't feel like we're being right, and I'm not coming down on you in condemnation. I'm just saying, is God dealing with you about anything? Because before we take of these communion elements, we want to make sure that in our heart we're not being disobedient to hear the Holy Spirit. Lord, what are you saying? We're going to have Jocelyn sing a song there. And you just check your heart. Father, is there anything I need to know? Is there anything I need to see? And if you are trusting God for the healing power working in your body, when you take that bread element and we break it, realize Jesus' body was bruised that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So meditate on that and say, Father, I thank you. The power of God's working in me. Maybe you had hands laid on you. Maybe you believe that you've received. But thank him that power is working as we eat that bread. Amen. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." Now, he was also talking about them coming together, and they would bring food, and they would eat at their tables, but they would exclude some people that didn't have as much money as them, and the setting of this. So he's telling them, don't eat in an unworthy manner. Don't leave out your brothers and sisters in Christ. But that could cover not being offended, right? Why don't you stand up again? We're going to pass out the elements here, and let's go ahead and do that.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you've paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, Lord. Thank you for the will be.
Bible talks about how Jesus, his body was laid on that tree. He hung on that tree for us, such that all of our sins, all of our sicknesses was laid upon him on the cross. And he says, do this in remembrance of me, such that we may be made whole. Let's take the bread and eat.
Hallelujah. Jesus shed his blood. And so we don't have to live in condemnation any longer. We're forgiven in Jesus' name. Let that blood just wash over you right now. Let it cleanse you of any impure thoughts, of any things that have been keeping you from coming boldly to the throne of God. And remind the devil, I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I was born in righteousness, and I am right. And anything that I've done wrong, I am forgiven in Jesus' name. And with that in mind, I just ask you to take and drink. Hallelujah. Well, thank you so much. We had a lot going on today. Praise the Lord. And I was getting ready to leave the house today, and the car wouldn't start on top of that. So I guess the battery was dead or something like that. So they came and got me, and so I got here late and this and that. But you know what? We just went with it, and we've had a good time today.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
take these things and go your way. Doing the greater works, remembering who you are in Christ, remembering that the Holy Ghost lives within you, but you've got strength and you've got boldness. Amen.